All right, so we're on the road today for the Detroit Sports Commission Game Above Golf Classic, and they're just about to send the golfers out, but here is the Detroit Sports Commission responsible for bringing major events to Detroit. Things like the Detroit Grand Prix and things like the Final Four, which will be here in the spring. Had a chance to catch up with Dan Gavitt, who runs college basketball for the NCAA, a little earlier in the show, talking about what Detroit brings to the table. Always good to be a major, like, you know, you forget, like, you go from, you got the Grand Prix, you had MIS this weekend, which I guess isn't Detroit specific, but out there in the Irish Hills, we got the Rocket Classic coming up, so hopefully that event can sort out and get another contract to be here long term, but always good to have stuff here, and the Detroit Sports Commission is widely responsible for it.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that you've got weather like this to try to schmooze with the people that make decisions.
Did you say it doesn't help?
I said it doesn't hurt.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it doesn't help.
Oh, no.
I was doesn't, like, how does it not help?
Does not hurt when the weather is how it is to schmooze the bigwigs of wherever to try to convince them Detroit's the place to be.
So there's been a lot of different things that we've had a chance to talk about today. And, you know, amongst them have been the Tigers and a great week winning 5 of 6 and the walk-off win yesterday coming from a rundown in the ninth on a two-out Kevin McGonigal two-run line drive single. That was awesome. They take 2 of 3 from Seattle. You've got breaking news all over the place today. One, the Yzerman, the list of player or teams rather that Dylan Larkin have submitted apparently to Steve Yzerman appears to be Florida, Vegas, and Minnesota, with some reporting in the Free Press and Helene St. James that those teams are on the list. And if it's just those three, that's going to make it really challenging, as far as I'm concerned, to move Dylan Larkin. But then they had news during the update that Tobias Harris wants to stay in Detroit and thinks he can win a title here, and that's his motivation. When I hear that, I always wonder, okay, is this one of those rare circumstance, money where your mouth is? Does that mean you're not going to get to the open market and it'll be a team-friendly contract to help them make other moves? Because Tobias was a valuable asset during this postseason. His leadership got cited a lot, but then on the court, the postseason, he was great.
Yeah, I really like Tobias Harris. I'm not sure if that's the route the Pistons need to go, but it's nice to have that. And if I were the Pistons, I'd say, hey, look, we'd like to bring you back, but we're going to explore other options and see what we have. Hate to put you in fallback you position here, but I think that's kind of where he would be in my eyes, because I think you got to think bigger and better. And not that he wasn't important for this team, because he was awfully important, particularly, you know, in the first round of the playoffs. He was very reliant and reliable, as you know, he's scoring 20 points a game for over 8 or 9 games in a row. And unfortunately, the last couple games against Cleveland wasn't the same kind of output. But he did a lot of the heavy lifting earlier, and he wasn't alone. Lots of players just didn't get it done when it came to that Cleveland series to finish it off. But I like Tobias. I'd like to see what the other plans are for Trajan Langdon and this team moving forward.
We got Champ and Chump as well. And so whatever direction you want to take this, people, what is inspiring you today? What makes you want to comment? 248-539-9797. I think this three-team list is just not really realistic. And if I'm Steve Yzerman, I'm like, okay, I'll try. But I'm not going to be beholden to your three teams and three teams only. If we get a better offer, I'll take it to Florida, Vegas, and Minnesota and say top this. And if they don't, SOL to a degree with Dylan Larkin.
Yeah, I'd kind of accept this list with an eye roll.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think there's – I mean, this is three teams. There's
right.
32 in the NHL. You're going to limit it to three? Good luck with that. We're going to explore every opportunity that we can. And we'll bring it to you, I suppose, is how that's going to work. Because letting Dylan Larkin dictate the terms doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And if Minnesota is one of these teams, the big piece that Minnesota has to offer is a goaltender in Wallstedt. Mm-hmm. And he was taken a couple picks after Sebastian Cosa was. And you know, it's interesting because Cosa's ready to make this next leap. Wallstedt's already that kind of player. So do the Red Wings want a goaltender as part of a centerpiece in return? I doubt it, considering that they have a dearth of talent at that spot right now in their organization.
Here's the feedback as it comes in. This is from an unnamed texter. You guys coming off annoying, close to being Yzerman apologists. He gets no leeway, regardless of the Larkin situation, his methods and choices in 7-plus years. That's what he wrote.
Okay, well, you can write that. I thought it pretty clear. We both kind of said that if he were fired, I'm not going to say, oh,
I don't know what their argument is,
I mean,
to keep him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's here. He's here, and so I'm hoping he spins this situation and makes the best of a bad situation. And if you disagree with anything we said, we do have open lines.
Yeah.
You know, whoever sent this text, we're more interested in how you feel than your take on how we feel.
To be fair, my chump of the week is Dylan Larkin because he's the one that's asked for the trade. And when your captain asks for a trade, to me, the first thing that comes to mind is he's bailing on his teammates. And he might do it for all the right reasons, and when all is said and done, you may end up siding with him. But right now, I'm not siding with him. Right now, I look at him as the guy who just wants to get off of what he perceives as a sinking ship, and that's self-preservationism. It's a guy who still has, what, 5 seasons left on his contract? So that's bothersome. That bothers me, personally. It also bothers me, personally, that the Red Wings have not been a playoff team in forever. That Dylan Larkin got to taste the playoffs, what, his rookie season, and that was it? So there's a lot of futility here. And there's plenty of blame to go around, and certainly you can blame the general manager for most of it, and I'm not going to disagree with that. Not at all.
Yeah, I don't know who else to blame. Larkin may win a cup. I could blame ownership, but you pretty much spend right up to the cap. I don't think he's hamstringing Larkin, or Yzerman, excuse me, in any way.
I think you blame general manager, you blame players, but the general manager's responsible for bringing the players on, but the players also have a duty and a responsibility to perform. And when Dylan Larkin has 17 points in 27 games in March over the last 3 years, that's not good enough. And I'm sure he'd own up to that, too. But at this point, he's the guy that's asked out.
Larkin may win a cup, and he has forever been tarnished. Will ever be a tarnished hometown kid. Watch his face when he comes back to Detroit and gets booed in his hometown. That's from an unnamed texter. Next text. So many people trying to give Yzerman a 15-year grace period. That's from an unnamed texter. I don't know who they're talking about. I mean, if you've had interaction with those people. That's interesting. I don't think we've had a caller that even suggested that today.
And if you're insinuating it's us, then you're wrong.
Yeah. Martin at work, response to caller saying nobody understands hockey. Larkin has made enough money that he doesn't need to care about what we think, nor should he. Go get your cup, Larkin. That's from Martin at work. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. Champ and Chump. We get Champ and Chump votes on Mondays, of course. And here's what's coming in. Jamie says, Champ, Kevin McGonigal. Chump was going to be Josh Naylor, but it's the NCAA after this Sorsby news. There are no rules anymore, and they just cleared the path where you can bet on your own team and hire a judge that went to a school you're at, and you'll get cleared. It's a disaster. That's from Jamie.
That story is one that I feel like we need to peel that onion because that is I think it's a ridiculous outcome. And the precedent that it sets is it's frightening, frankly, and what this could mean moving forward. Basically, you're saying it's okay to gamble now on sports if you're a college athlete.
And
it's
and
okay.
You can gamble in games you're playing.
I mean, that's ridiculous. And for that to be the outcome of this, it's obvious that the reason to me, it's obvious that the reason that the outcome is what it is right now is because the good old boys are doing some work behind the scenes to ensure that the guy gets to play for their team.
I will just say this. I will make a prediction that Sorsby never plays for Texas Tech. I don't think this is going to hold water.
Well, the NCAA is going to have to go to litigation, right?
Yep.
So,
I bet the NCAA wins this one.
I hope they do because I think this one's pretty cut and dry. That no, you gambled on games. You can't do this.
Larkin has requested a trade, not demanded. However, how can a captain request a trade and come back? And how can he look everyone in the eye and expect them to give it all? Give them there's all, there's no. This needs a punctuation or edit or something. Like, how can you expect them to give it their all is what I think he meant to say. No way he's the captain if he comes back, right? There'd be a lot of credibility issues that he would have to address if he were to come back. I suspect in the end, if I'm going to predict what happens here, I'll get to that prediction coming up today at 12:16. Phone calls, feedback, Champ and Chump, let's get him in. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1. on the road today for the Detroit Sports Commission Game Above Golf Classic at Oakland Hills. If you want to see where we're broadcasting from, YouTube and Twitch has the video stream as we're on the veranda overlooking the 18th green and the driving range over to our right. In the green, 18th green.
You know, Doug, there.
Finishing hole.
Right there where there's a gate on the side there. That's the infamous spot where young Scott the Gator Anderson sat in full uniform as a security guard for the 1991 U.S. Senior Open.
It's one of my favorite stories with you. You for 4 days, or was it the whole week?
It was 2 days I was there.
Okay.
Other days during the week, I was at various parts of the course, including down on the back here or behind the 16 tee.
Gotcha. And there's a gate down there that you just had to tell people you can't enter this gate.
People would start walking up the road, and they would want to come into the tournament through that gate, and I would say, politely, of course, Doug, I'm sorry, you have to go around to the front.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would say, well, just let us in. We're right here. I'm like, I'm sorry, you'll have to go around to the front.
But I don't want to.
I'm sorry, you'll have to go around to the front. Now, if you excuse me, you're interrupting my reading.
Let's get back to your phone calls. We go to Jay next on 97.1. Hello, Jay.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Okay.
All right.
So I got a champ and chump for you today, but before I hit those, let me just make a quick point. That text kind of bothered me a little while ago, that you guys are coming off annoying and that you're larking apologists. I just want to tell you, one of the things that I really, really love about your guys' show is you guys are always really level-handed and even-handed, and you'll dole out responsibility and accountability, but you never cut people the ribbons, man. And I thought that was a really cool aspect to your show, so just wanted to tell you.
Look, I mean, I guess part of this is I'm okay with an exchange of ideas. If somebody has an issue with what we say, I'd like to know what their opinion is more so than what their opinion of us is.
right. Yeah, that doesn't really, I mean, that's kind of weird.
I don't know, man. Whatever. It's fine. If you have a problem, if you disagree with us, that's cool. But let's tell us why. But anyway, sorry,
exactly.
Jay. Thank you. Your champ and chump.
My chump is, I've been tossing this around. My chump is actually going to be Chris Illich, but not for what everybody else. You know, I'm not one of those guys that says, oh, he's got a tight wallet and he doesn't let anybody spend any money. I'm chumping him this week because I feel like he can't accept the fact that two things can be true at the same time, that Iserman can, one, be, you know, top four Red Wing in our team history. And I've only bought one jersey in my entire life. I'm 52 years old. I'm not a jersey guy. I bought an Iserman jersey once. That's literally the only jersey I've ever bought. I loved him. But at the same token, I also believe that the hook should have come out and he should have been yanked out of that chair last year. And I am afraid that they're going to, that can't separate the fact that both those things can be true. Yeah, he's a Red Wing great, and he's a terrible GM, at least in my opinion. My opinion, he's a terrible GM with our team.
It's hard for me to look at the drafts, okay, and go, this guy's he's silently building a great team. I just don't see it, and I get where you're coming from.
You know how there's that old saying, right? Oh, he's playing chess, and everybody else is playing checkers. Sometimes that can go in reverse. Everybody else is playing checkers, and I think that Iserman needs to stop playing chess and catch up and start playing checkers and make bigger moves right now.
Between that and the guy that slammed us, everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants Steve Iserman to be successful. And maybe right now the only hope is that he's learned from his mistakes, because it doesn't look like he's going anywhere.
As far as chess and checkers are concerned, I think it's quite possible he is playing chess when it comes to the off seasons, not necessarily with the draft, but with players he wants to acquire. If he has been slowly clearing up space to make a big run after next year's free agent class, that's great. But the problem is, what you've done in between or leading up to that point is not exactly instilling confidence in those free agents to be that they'd want to come here and play on this team if this team hasn't shown a track record of being successful where they can make a difference between being a first-round fodder and being a contender for the Stanley Cup.
Valid. Jay, real quick, who's your champ? Oh, we lost Jay. All right, let's go to AJ next on 97.1. Hello, AJ.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hope you guys' show. First time, a long time.
Great.
I guess my point is I don't get the Eiserbots. I look at it very simplistically. How is this different than finding another job yourself? Are you going to stay somewhere where you're miserable, you're not happy, and you have no management support to do your job to the best of your ability?
Well, because our jobs are not, I mean, normal jobs, I'll say, it's not the same as being a professional athlete. Professional athlete, you know, you're accountable to fans and management and your teammates and all that. You know, if you're working in accounting for some, you know, ABC firm, it doesn't matter. It's not the same. I mean, of course it matters, but it's not the same, you know, thing where you're representing other people.
I get that because you guys are looking at the numbers in comparison, but I'm just saying as an individual, as a human being, are you going to keep going to a job you don't really, you're not happy at?
No, he's free to do whatever he wants. There's no question. He's free to do. Dylan Larkin can do whatever he wants. If he's that, disappointed with how things have gone, he wants out. He hit his breaking point. So be it. Then go ahead and ask for it. It's going to come with repercussions.
Yeah, my biggest issue, I guess, is that's an awfully small list of teams you're willing to go to. And if you're
more nuances,
I don't know that he's being really realistic. I don't know if he's being realistic. Like, the organization got it. You're not happy with the team that they've surrounded you with. You don't think you can win here. You don't think this guy's going to get it done. That's fine. Telling me he can only trade you to these three teams, if that's a hard and fast list and it's only those three teams, I don't think he's being realistic.
Oh, exactly. No, he's kind of pigeonholing himself in that respect. But I just look at it as the mentality, the whole, why can't he go and try to go to a better team where he's going to be happy?
He can.
I don't want somebody playing as a captain that's miserable to play, that has no support.
Well, maybe.
I don't want that.
I think it's interesting because we don't know why he asked for the trade, right? We don't know what happened between what he said to the media after the season was done and what happened last week. We don't know. It's obviously there was a conversation had with Steve Yzerman and it didn't go the way he wanted it to or whatever. We don't know. It's just left to speculation. But he's free to do what he wants, absolutely. But the difference with doing it in the professional sports world is that you got a fan base that's going to hold you accountable, right or wrong, in that. So, I don't know. I also think that this is a negotiation, right? Like any negotiation, you put you're negotiating high, and you're going to settle somewhere in the middle. He can throw out the three teams, and it may be completely unrealistic, and eventually it'll be some group of 10 teams or whatever.
Brock is next on 97.1. Hello, Brock. Do we lose Brock?
Doing?
Oh, there we go. Hey, Brock.
Hey, guys, you got me? Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
How you doing?
Good.
So another caller a few minutes ago put it very well. Is it possible? I want to know your guys' thoughts. Is it possible to be divided on this topic and see both Yzerman and both Larkin side? I mean, if you're Dylan Larkin, you're coming up to the end of your prime and you want to go win something, right? He went and he won with gold medal with the USA team, right? So he wants to go win something. Is it a backstab to his own town where he grew up, his hometown team? Absolutely. But I can't blame the guy for wanting to walk, right? And I don't think, at the same time, I don't think Yzerman has shown competence. He's failed to get the Red Wings into the playoffs since he's been as a GM. But the last thing I'll say, and I've been hearing it from a few callers since this news came out, they're trying to degrade Dylan Larkin by saying, well, he's only a second line center, or he's a third line center at best. I'm not sure those callers realize in the heyday of the Red Wings, when Sergei Fedorov was our center, you know who was the second line center? It was Steve Yzerman. And Sergei Fedorov had the Russian Five around him. the same thing can be said about, you know, the 2008 and the 2009 teams that were so much more deep than this team is. So Larkin may go be a second-line player somewhere else, but he's going to go play behind a very good first-line center and may help them win a cup. I don't think that's degrading.
The arguments regarding what kind of player Larkin was, all you got to do is look at his performance in the Olympics, and you realize that there are better players out there, and when you put him with those better players, he becomes even a better version of himself. Wow. Like, Steve Yzerman would be the kind of player in another Dylan Larkin would be the kind of player that in another town, if I saw that he was available and I knew I had a player better than Dylan Larkin, I would want Dylan Larkin playing with that guy. I would want him so bad, because I think international Olympic Dylan Larkin is fantastic. And I think it speaks to where he falls in the pecking order. I would want him next to the guy. And one of the Red Wings failings under this entire era, this is it for Larkin, he's gone, and it all wraps up with the one playoff appearance his rookie year and nothing since, then the biggest failing is they never got anybody better than Dylan Larkin.
Yeah, look, Dylan Larkin's a heck of a player. There's no question about it. And would be a number one center on every team? No. But he'd be a number one center on, you know, maybe 10 of the teams in the NHL. But that's not a knock on him. He's an amazing two-way player, first of all, which not every player is a two-way player. He is. As far as the international experience and what he provides there and how well he played for Team USA, yeah, he looks great on Team USA because he's playing on the third or fourth line for Team USA, going against the third or fourth line for these other nations that just don't have the depth that Team USA does. Team USA won the Olympic gold medal. So obviously it's a very deep team, and it shows how deep it is when Dylan Larkin is playing at the third or fourth line. So there's a lot here that I don't think, you know, you don't need to sling arrows at either side. It's a situation that has gotten to where it is with the fault of players and the fault of management.
Carson Anderson, 97.1. Carson Anderson on the road today, Oakland Hills, Detroit Sports Commission Game Above Golf Classic. Feedback coming in regarding what's obviously taken off today is a Dylan Larkin discussion with a report that the three teams on his list were Florida, Vegas, and Minnesota. And I think the reaction to this is, all right, Dylan, might want to be a little bit more broad in your horizons here, because Steve Yzerman is under no obligation to make you the happiest person in Detroit. He's under the obligation of making all of us out here the happiest people in Detroit. The organization has paid you handsomely through the years. That's cool. Hamstringing him to these three teams, however, feels a little bit unrealistic and a massive ask for Dylan Larkin to make of this team. If you can work out a deal with Vegas, Florida, or Minnesota, so be it. But any offer I'd get from any team, I would go to those teams and say, if you can't top this, we're not trading it to you. And if Dylan Larkin that has to sit out next year or play for Detroit under bizarre circumstances, so be it. But hopefully either a deal can be worked out or the list expands over time. Feedback coming in. Anthony in Ann Arbor says Larkin would be the third center on the Knights and would most likely move to the wing in Florida because he would be the fourth center on the Panthers. And Minnesota has little cap space. He needs to be realistic or else this is going to turn toxic. Next text from an unnamed texter. Two of the worst prospect pools in hockey with Vegas and Florida. And two of the three he said he wants to go to.
Well, but those teams, for those teams to get involved, they would have to offer up actual NHL players. Mm-hmm. And future draft capital, right? Mm-hmm. So that could be beneficial to the Red Wings, depending on what player you're getting in return. And Florida does have a top 10 pick this year. Because of all the injuries they suffered, they had a bad season.
Guys, if Yzerman honors Larkin's three-team request, if I'm Yzerman, I tell you, you aren't going anywhere until you waive your no-trade clause. And if you're back next year, you're not the captain. And put Larkin in an uncomfortable spot. We have to do what's right. That's from an unnamed texter.
Well, I think Yzerman can talk to Dylan Larkin without demanding that he waive the no-trade clause. I think he just has a conversation and says, look, you've got to be realistic here. We're not just going to look at three teams to deal you, and to do the best for this organization, we need to open it up to every team in the league.
And an unnamed texter writes in, amazing how bad Eisenman is as a GM. Hire all of his cronies and every aspect of the team is rotten. He made it. He made his bed and ours with his terrible leadership. I'm sickened by all this. By his terrible leadership. You know, if I were to go to the core of his biggest problems, I think it's his draft, his drafting, and then overvaluing who he's drafted. That, if I were to pick the single biggest thing that's undermined the Eisenman regime, it's that.
Well, I don't know if he's overvalued those guys or not, or if it's just this is the year that these guys have the real opportunity to make the team. I mean, the fact is that coming out of training camp, Nate Danielson was going to make the team, but then he suffered an injury, and he had been oft injured throughout the season.
You know how I feel about Danielson.
I know, but we'll never know what it would have looked like had he not gotten hurt in training camp, and if he starts the season and he's healthy, so who knows. You know, some guys made the team that I think was a little a surprise, that Branzig Nygaard made the team right out of training camp, and same thing with Axel Sandin Pellikka. But those guys are guys that have to be cornerstones now, right? You got to hit on those guys. And the last month and a half of hockey for Branzig Nygaard was pretty good for him. So we'll see if he hits the ground running in training camp again and becomes a piece that's a top six forward. I don't know, but he's going to get that opportunity. But a guy like Danielson has got to show that he's, you know, worthy of making an NHL roster and not just, okay, he's going to be a defensive shadow for somebody. You know, he's got a skill to play defensively, but you got to put the puck in the net if you're going to be a first-round pick. And if he's not, then that's a big miss for Steve Eisenman.
Tony is next on 97.1. Hello, Tony.
Hey, hi, guys. I got a champ and a chump. So my chump, and I realize that hindsight is 20/20, but my chump is the Seattle manager who should have walked McConnell in the ninth inning.
And my well, he had first champ, base open, and he fell behind 2-0, and that option was there.
Yeah. And then, but like I said, it's 20/20. But still, you know, it would have gone the other way. But the champ has got to be the little girl in the stands with the mechanical goggles. Did you see that?
I did not.
She had the goggles, and they were basically two plastic cups that she could turn them and look through them, and she was wearing them, you know, and it was like lucky. So I think she should get a patent attorney along with Dan Petrie, because Petrie had made up some mechanical goggles. So that's the new kick now. So I think if somebody can design them, I'll go in with them to try to get a patent on mechanical goggles.
You're going to become a silent investor here, Tony?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not too silent because, you know, you guys got good ratings. So now everybody's going to steal my, you know, idea, but that's okay.
Excellent point.
These are all facts.
Yeah, excellent point. Thank you. You saw these things, Gator?
Yes.
And? You like them?
Yeah. Well, it was a cute story, right? A little girl out there in the stands, and she's watching, and they get, you know, she's got these plastic. She's not on the list. These plastic cups as goggles, if you will. Sure, it's fine.
Let's go to Rick next at 97.1. Hello, Rick.
Thanks for taking the call. Hope you're enjoying it at Oakland Hills. I just want to make a comment, Doug, before I make the point I called, told the screener about. Yep. Listening to people call in and talk hockey is like listening to the guys that want golf bench for Hendon Hooker. My ears are literally bleeding, okay? It's a fact that at the end of the season, you could buy $20 tickets at center ice 8 rows up. That's going to be 19's legacy. Your point about Larkin with three teams, Billy Guerin was the general manager of the U.S. Olympic team. He's the GM of Minnesota. He wants Dylan. Tkachuk, what he said about Dylan as a player, I'm not Dylan slappy. I beat him down for some forechecking issues, wall battles, this kind of stuff, okay? But Billy Guerin was the GM of the U.S. Olympic team, not bobblehead 19. Mrs. Ilitch, you've given him 7 years. You deserve a lot better. Your loyalty to a fault to 19. Wait, this is the last shoe that drops. Wait till DeBrincat leaves. So that's what I wanted to say about the Billy Guerin thing, Doug. I appreciate you and Gator listening.
What's the Billy Guerin thing? Why bring up Bill Guerin as the GM of Minnesota?
Because he's a GM in Minnesota, brother, and he wants Dylan Knapp in Minnesota. That's why they're one of the teams on the list. Florida. And
they're one of the teams on the list because they've got three guys from Team USA that are on there.
100%, and he loved playing with them. That's why Dylan.
I don't think anybody is anybody. Maybe I'm misinterpreting something. Has anybody questioned why Minnesota was on the list?
Well, you just said it's a small list for Dylan to put down. He's got to be more realistic. He doesn't need to be more realistic. He's going to pull a hammy a month into the season. He's going to be a lame duck guy, and so is DeBrincat, knowing he's not going to get $11.5 million there.
Well, I think what we're talking about is if you really want to be traded, you might not get as much say as you want because the organization has to do what's best for the organization, not for Dylan.
Fair point, Doug. How about the 6'7 kid out of Vancouver who's a Dallas D man that said, I'm not going to Detroit to play, Tyler something? I don't know. And Dylan was just rated a top 50 player in the league. I think he's 26 or some number. Right? I didn't even say that.
I don't know what we're... I feel like we're having an argument and nobody's arguing against
it. No, Dougie. No, I just want to explain. Guerin, who orchestrated a gold medal and is a GM of the Wild, saw Dylan and what he brings and he wants him. So the guys that are calling in saying, Dylan's done this, Dylan's done that, they don't know what goes on behind the scenes, brother.
Well, no, obviously teams want. I mean, Dylan Larkin's a commodity in the league. If you don't think he is, then say that at your own peril. I think it's stupid if that's your point, then I agree with it. But
I mean, he's considered everybody's analysis I've seen. He's considered now the prize of the offseason.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I feel like we're. Yeah.
Well, do you guys think you're underestimating the? You know, Eiserman's obviously got to do what's best for him, but Larkin's trying to do what's best for him, and he does have a lot of power here because he has a no trade clause for a reason. If Eiserman says, hey, the best deal is from Anaheim, but we do have a deal from the Vegas Knights, like Larkin goes, hey, well, if it's not the Knights, like the caller just suggested, I might pull a hammy. Do you think Eiserman would be like, well, it's better off to get something for this guy than we're getting nothing at all, not even him?
I would say this. I have a hard time thinking that a hockey player would do something like that because I just don't ever remember a hockey player, you know, sitting out because he's or feigning an injury to sit out. Now, when it comes to Minnesota, I mentioned that they don't, you know, their top prospect is a goaltender. If you're going to talk of Minnesota, it may end up, hey, look at Lawnmower. Yeah. It may end up involving a third team.
Let me
which
just,
is something that is completely, you know, unknown here.
I'd call his bluff.
I just look at roll my eyes and say thanks. Here's the three teams. Appreciate it. We're shopping into every team in the league, not just these.
Doug Hart, Scott Anderson. We're at Oakland Hills, the Detroit Sports Commission Game Above Golf Classic, which is underway. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Craig, who's next here on 97.1. Hello, Craig.
Hey, guys. It's actually Greg.
Oh, hey, Greg. Sorry.
No worries at all. Three points I'll make them really quickly. Should it be a detriment to a hometown product who gets drafted by the home team? Should that be a detriment to him when things are going awry? It shouldn't be a detriment to him because the management is because it's all business at the end of the day. Management's going to do what's best for them, of course, which you have seen throughout every sport. So why is it a problem when the player within himself as an individual wants to make a decision? Because nobody as a kid ever fantasized hitting the winning game in a regular season. It was always in a championship. It was always at the pinnacle. So why is it that it's a problem that he's looking around, taking evaluation as an individual and trying to look at what's best for himself because he's given.
Greg, it's easy. It's easy. Because
okay,
it's
and let me just make another point.
Hold on, Greg.
We'll give you your time.
But it's easy because sports fans, that's how sports fans operate. It's that simple.
Okay.
Fans are fans of their team. They love their team. Any disrespect to their team. Fan stands for fanatical, and it's okay. That's the way fans are. It's the way players are. They're different, and that's fine. They both exist in the same world, and they both feed off one another. So it's perfectly fine, Greg.
Okay, and that's why I love you. That's why I love you, because you're able to bring
We love you too, Greg. For me.
Okay, and another point that because of just what you just said, it made the great one of the greatest players in the NFL, in the NFL, retire. And we're talking about Barry Sanders, that management wasn't doing anything, wasn't looking to do anything. And in fact, they had a great player, I can't think of his name, who Barry Sanders really appreciated and liked. And when Barry Sanders saw him get traded, it took away the desire of this great player to want to play. And he ended up retiring. And the last point I want to make is, Mike, my chap and chump is, as long as there is snow still up in the UP, and we haven't gotten to the All-Star game, I believe in my Tigers. And my chump is anybody who doesn't see that. Wait till all the snow melts in the UP, and wait till after the All-Star break. Then make your decision. You know, because I'm a Tigers fan regardless. And I just want to hear a comment on the Barry Sanders and the Tigers fan.
I thought it was Kevin Glover retired, wasn't that?
I think I was part of it, yeah.
Yeah, but and as far as the Tigers, look, we did the math earlier in the show. They are 5.5 games out of a wild card spot with 96 games to go. If you invert those things and put the Tigers 5.5 games up on somebody, I would not think it's a done deal. Now, do they have to play better? Sure. Last year, you go back one calendar year, Cincinnati was 4 games out of the wild card. They made it. 1 year ago today, Boston was 3.5 out of the wild card. They made it. 5.5 is not a huge difference, but they got to keep playing better, and we need more evidence that they can do it. If you wanted to think it was injuries, though, that have cost them and that's why they've been out of it, the last week has certainly supported that argument.
I think injuries have played a massive role in why this team is now 12 games below 500. If they didn't have to deal with as many injuries, would they be closer to 500? Absolutely. And, you know, we'd be disappointed with how they were playing because it wouldn't be 500 baseball, but they'd be a heck of a lot closer. They'd be in the wild card hunt. And we'd be talking about ways to make the team better in the short term, not about trading the chief asset that is Tarik Skubal.
It continues to be a matter and a statement of fact that there's nothing been more true in Detroit sports than if Doug and Scott are on a remote, there will be yard work. And this time, it's being even reemphasized here at Oakland Hills because these guys have mowed that same strip of grass no less than 3 times. That same strip right there, back and forth they go.
Well, I will say this.
Yes.
These groundskeepers earned their keep here.
Well, that's true.
This place is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. We're at Oakland Hills. Kang, I don't know. Maybe you could tell us as a producer of this program, how loud are the mowers?
We know they're mowing, guys.
Yep.
You didn't have to say anything. We know.
Yeah, I'm gonna. And nobody, rest assured, that strip of grass over there to our left has been mowed AF.
And then they even have the quiet ones, autonomous ones.
Yeah, they're over here.
Right, those are over by the driving range.
Here comes the whipper.
Tell them you got it. You got it, man. It's
yeah, you did a great job.
It's done.
Great job. Mike is next on 97.1. Hello, Mike.
Hello, how are you today?
We're good. Okay.
So, I find it funny that we don't look at the parallelisms between the Red Wings and the Tigers. So fans complain that the general managers on both teams aren't doing a good job trading away and bringing in better players to help the teams. I propose you could probably switch Harris and Yzerman and you'd have the same effect. So I think the real problem is the management or the ownership, because they must be telling these managers, the general managers, this is the approach we're going to take to maximize our revenue.
I disagree with that last part of it. I think you could be disappointed with how things have worked out with the Red Wings, and you have every bit of fodder to say that, because the Red Wings have been nothing but disappointing for almost a dozen years, it feels like. The Tigers... They actually have made the playoffs the last 2 years.
And they've added $80 million-plus in payroll this offseason.
They've spent money. Did they make the moves at the trade deadline that everybody wanted to see made? No, they didn't. But they've spent money in the offseason. They brought real major league players to this roster. And they've actually made the postseason. And one guy seems to so far, the early returns on his draft looks a lot better than the guy who's been doing it for a long time.
You're talking about Scott Harris.
So, yeah. I mean,
Scott Harris.
His first draft, it looks really good right
now. The Clark, McGonigal, Max Anderson as his first three picks. But, look, I mean, if anything right now, if I were to make an argument against ownership, it would likely be centered around ownership being too loyal to Steve Eisman.
I won't disagree with that.
But I don't think it's money. I mean, this is one of the highest Tiger payrolls ever. They've added $8-plus million in payroll. And the Red Wings, there have been a couple of years where they've been $5-6 million under the cap, but mostly they're right up against it the last, you know, during the Eisman era. So it's cap league. You can only do so much.
In fairness, now the Tigers are forced into spending more money with the Skubal situation because of arbitration. But they did go out and get a $40 million player.
Well,
they went out and got other players too. But, you know, the Skubal situation jacked it up.
Between Framber and Kenley Jansen, they spent some money.
Yeah, without question.
But you might not like who they brought in. I mean, this is the classic sign somebody, sign somebody, sign somebody, then you do. Not him, right? But they did spend a lot of money. But look, I mean, there have been years where I think ownership probably did tell them things, and I'm not saying this owner, but on certain teams. But I don't think this – I don't know that it applies here. I'm not sure if the facts support it. 248-539-9797. Hey, Mondays mean Champ and Chump. Get your Champ and Chump votes in for Champ and Chump of the weekend. Who had the best weekend? Who should called out for having a weekend that stinks? Hey, NBA Finals back tonight. The Knicks and Spurs. You know, I went back and I looked at some things. We've talked a lot about how the Spurs were built. Talk about the lottery all the time. Crazy thing about the Knicks is they acquired Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson. I went back and read Karl Anthony Towns' scouting report out of college, and he was basically considered a defensive guy. Oh, he's going to be great on the defensive end, great on the defensive end. Unknown as an offensive producer, and he really has. And that made me think of Asar. More reason why Asar developed that into the game. It should be the most fun to develop. Hey, we want you just to shoot.
Right.
Sounds a lot more fun than practicing shuffling side to side or whatever you do to get better defensively.
100%. And I mean, Asar Thompson's future is so bright, and it's very encouraging.
Jalen Brunson was a second-round pick. Second-round pick. It's panned out. It's worked out. More coming up from Oakland Hills. Carson Anderson, 97.1.